Hey everyone, welcome to the Paradox College Podcast. I'm Caleb Hickson. With me today is Alyssa and Liz, here to talk about singleness. Okay, what's up, guys?
What's up?
Hey. How's it going?
It's going good.
It's going well.
Yes, good. I love to hear that. Welcome to our Paradox College Podcast. How are we?
I'm good.
I'm doing great, I think.
Okay.
As far as I know.
Not a ton of confidence in those answers, but I'll take them.
Yeah.
How are you, Caleb?
I'm doing fantastic, Alyssa. Thank you.
Fantastic.
Yeah. What's it like?
Listen.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about podcasts, but they always get me in a good mood. So I'm grateful.
Is it like interviews?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. Like an adrenaline rush?
Yes, definitely. The endorphins, adrenaline, all hitting me at one time right here.
Yeah. I tell people all the time that my thoughts are external, but my emotions are internal. So I'm like, I'm good.
Nice.
And it's like, we don't know if that's true or not.
Right. Till the merging of the internal and the external.
Talk to me in 2 to 3 business days and I'll tell you how I feel about what we're doing right now.
Maybe we can draw out some of those emotions on the podcast today.
Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I think it's a possibility.
Wow.
That's huge.
Anything is possible.
That's huge.
High standard.
Okay. So for our listeners here, we are all familiar with Alyssa. We know and love Alyssa, our college resident. But then Liz, this is your first time on our podcast.
It is.
A little bit about yourself. Who are you and why are you on this podcast?
My name is Liz. I am the Connections Director here at the Paradox Church. I just got on staff, I guess, it's been 6 weeks already, which is pretty crazy.
Time flies.
I did ministry about 5 years ago, but the last 5 years I've been in the marketing, storytelling, branding world with a few different companies, and I've always just had a heart to go back to ministry, and the Lord provided that way a short time ago. So I'm back in ministry, and I'm at the church that I've been at for the last, gosh, I guess it's been 3 years. I've been a partner here at Paradox for 2, and so it just kind of felt like hopping on a bus that I already was pretty familiar with. I'm just more behind the scenes.
Love that.
That way, so.
That's awesome. And so we are right in the middle of this relationship series that we're doing on our podcast where we're talking all through the relationships. Today, we're talking about singleness. Tell me a little bit from both of y'all's perspective, like what is your, like where do you fall on the relationship spectrum?
Yeah.
You want to take it first?
Sure. So we're both single, but I have never like seriously dated. I've been on, I think the most dates I've been on is like 3 with a guy. And so I'm single right now. Yeah.
Amazing.
There's that. I am obviously single and I am.
You say obviously, like we should all just know.
Well, y'all said it earlier, so I feel like I'm saying it. I'm all, hey guys, guess what? This is a singleness podcast. And I am. That's right, single, everybody. Yeah. Thanks so much. Single, I'm 28, and I think it's interesting for me to be on this podcast, too, because I was sharing with them when we were kind of in the pre-conversation about it. It's like, I don't really, like, I'm very indifferent towards this idea of marriage. Not the idea of marriage, but marriage for me. And so singleness has been interesting because I haven't found myself like, oh, man, I really want to date. So I can't really speak to this, like, hardcore, you know, I don't know. Journaling, and there's nothing wrong with this, but journaling all the time, asking the Lord for something. It's more like I have this different perspective. So I'm excited to speak on it. But singleness to me has just been like, what is my reality?
Sure.
And have just been like walking in that. I'm not against dating or marriage. Mm. I'm open to it. I just kind of have an indifference towards it. So
yeah, that makes sense.
I'll be a fun perspective, I think.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. So I guess maybe to just even like get us into this topic, why is this a Why even talk about it? Why spend an episode talking about singleness from your perspective?
From my perspective, it's important because everybody has to encounter singleness.
Sure. Yeah.
So if anything we can all hold hands on,
sure.
Pun intended, it's singleness. And everyone has to encounter it. The Bible talks about it pretty explicitly and talks about it in different ways. There's a lot of emotion that is surrounding it that can be negative, that can be positive, and so it's just, it's important. I mean, if the Bible's talking about it, I think we should be talking about it.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. I think it just can sometimes, like, especially within the context of the church, be viewed as a thing to escape or to like quickly find your way out of.
That's
and so to just kind of like look it in the eye and like understand the like benefits of it and hardships of it like feels important, and it feels like it affects a good portion of our church right now.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Love that. That's great. Well, then let's just dive into what is singleness. How would you guys define singleness, right? If we're going to talk about this, if we all encounter it at some point, what is singleness? Am I single if I'm dating somebody? Am I single if I'm not dating someone? I guess the answer to that one is actually obvious, but what is it?
You might be surprised. Maybe yeah, some people would. I guess that's you true. Never know. You want to take it?
I mean, I would say, I guess your definition can vary. I would say if you're dating someone, you wouldn't be single. But I guess some people could define it as like when you're married, then you wouldn't be single anymore.
Okay.
Yeah. Man, I think it's a little bit of a both and here. I think that there's like one side where it's like you're single until there's a covenant made before God. Even though you might be dating or engaged, like kind of like on the biblical hardcore perspective.
Sure.
But I do, doesn't mean that your word doesn't carry any weight. And so like if you're in a committed relationship with someone that you're both, you know, hey, we're seeing each other only, or like all the way to like engagement, you know.
Totally.
It's you can't just be like, well, I'm single, so I can do whatever I want.
Yeah.
Right.
But yeah, I think that's kind of how I would view it.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you, Liz, on like there's a both and, right? So biblically, obviously the Bible doesn't talk about dating. So there's no, there's no structure construct for dating in the Bible. So biblically it's going to be whether or not you are married or not. That's the definition between singleness. But in our particular moment in time in history, there is that third category of like committed dating relationship that is just not spoken to in the Bible. And so I would say, sure. Yeah. Whatever you want to call it. Whether you're in a dating relationship or you're totally single, like that's what the Bible speaks to.
Yeah.
Or if you don't really care, whatever, it doesn't matter to me necessarily, because I think it's more of like what you identify with.
Mm-hmm.
But with this idea and concept of singleness, there's a ton of questions. People have asked, like, man, is singleness a result of the fall? Does God want and call everyone to be single? Like, what are some of the questions that you guys have run into, or maybe even had yourself in regards to singleness?
Yeah, man, a lot. And it's so interesting because it's everything that, you know, our thoughts about God are the most important things, is the most important thought about like what we have, like what we think about God is most important thing about us. And with that is like a formulation of other thoughts. And one of those things is singleness. And so our story, how we're wired, like all of that affects that reality. So I'll get conversations with people who kind of ask that, like, is like singleness a part of the fall? When I think they probably should say, is loneliness a part of the fall?
Mm-hmm.
Or is singleness, you know, it's like, and it's like, I think we have the wrong word here. We're attributing singleness to loneliness, to isolation, to not being a gift. Like scripture is very clear that singleness is a gift.
Yeah.
And we're like, yeah, I don't think you're a very good gift giver then. That's kind of, I don't know if we would ever look in the mirror or in our prayers, look at God and say that, but we sure do act that way.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know, I think it's, I have some stuff written down about this because this is kind of the question that I was going to hone in on, because our posture towards something that God has given us shows a lot about what we even believe about God and his character and what he wants for us and from us. I think the only thing that God calls us to is to be content, is to have an undistracted devotion to the Lord. There are things in this like life that we will encounter and that we will come across and that we will endure and that we will, you know, various things. But at the end of the day, like, God wants our attention, our love, our affections, you know, all that kind of stuff. And scripture is pretty clear to me that singleness is the best way to do that. That doesn't make marriage bad.
Yeah.
Right.
And marriage being good doesn't make singleness bad. And I think we have this like absolute way of thinking where it has to be one or the other.
Yeah.
And that's just not true.
Yeah.
And it's
a
bummer for both parties. Like, it's a bummer for, if I'm going around as a single person being like, I have the most freedom and I have the most devotion to the Lord, and maybe people are like, oh, okay, you know, not really that great to hear.
Right.
In the same regard of like married people coming up to me and being like, I can't wait for you to get married one day, as if I am lacking something.
Right.
And so I totally empathize all the questions that come, and I love all the questions because I know that God wants us to ask those questions, mm-hmm. and He wants us to wrestle and toil and work out our faith with fear and trembling, as Paul would say. Mm-hmm. And so those questions are good. So I don't even dog those questions. It's more so like, let's look at the question we're even asking,
right,
and figure out where's our heart postured towards God? How are we viewing God in this question?
Yeah.
I would probably start there. For now, I'll let you take the next one.
And that's great too, because like if somebody's got the question of like, is singleness a result of the fall? I think what you were honing in on earlier, yeah. was so true, is like, I think we're using the wrong word here.
Yep.
Because we're viewing singleness as a moral thing.
Yeah.
We are moralizing singleness. Is it good or bad?
Yeah.
And it's neither good nor bad.
Or like a punishment.
Right.
Or
absolutely.
Some way. Yeah.
Absolutely. And so instead of moralizing it, and the reason why I think we can acknowledge the fact that it's not a moral thing is because Jesus himself was single.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And we know that he was with no sin.
Yep.
And so that it's not a bad thing to then be single. Mm-hmm. Not only was Jesus single, but the Bible in the New Testament is clear that singleness is a gift from God. Yeah. Paul himself was single, and we know that from 1 Corinthians 7, that he says he wishes that everybody would be like he was, but if you can't, then you should marry. And like he gives that concession, and so you've got Jesus and Paul both single. Yeah. We know that that's not a bad thing to be single. So then how do we transition our thoughts from, okay, singleness is not a good or a bad thing, but rather it is a gift.
Yeah.
How do we steward that gift then?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think part of it is just like an acknowledgement of the desire that you have. Like, I think a lot of times when we're so concerned with like, is X, Y, or Z good or bad? Like, is my desire to marry bad? Like, do I equate like marriage with the end of loneliness? Like, is that bad or wrong?
Right.
Like, I think just like getting all of the words out there and like the desires acknowledged is half the battle, and then being able to like turn to the Lord with those keeps you from just like holding marriage as this thing that you only like think about yourself and try to like distance God from, because ultimately whenever we try to distance God from anything, it leads to like distrust of him. And so like the more we can like bring it into the conversation with God and just like acknowledge not only just like the desire for marriage, if that's something that you desire, but the underlying desires that you equate with marriage as being like the satisfaction for those things.
Yeah.
That just like feels helpful.
Wait, so you're saying that we should be walking in the light with our emotions and desires?
Yeah, I don't know. That's crazy.
That's crazy. That's wild, right?
Yeah.
When we don't, it goes bad for us.
Yeah.
This is weird. That's weird. Okay, so you touched on like this desire for marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. So if singleness is a gift, and we can say biblically, we understand that, yes, it is a gift that we are given to steward. Well, then is the desire for marriage wrong?
Yeah.
Is that
bad? Well, yeah, it is.
No, just kidding. Yeah. No.
Yeah, we could have high-fived in that moment.
Wow, that would have been really good.
Yeah, yeah.
No, it's not wrong. I think there's also just so much like beautiful imagery in marriage of like Jesus and the church. And yes, we like hear that a lot at weddings, but like it's one of the clearest and while broken, it's one of the clearest like visuals that we get.
Yeah.
Like as a physical representation of like Jesus's committed love towards the church.
Right.
And so it's good. And I don't think that it's like wrong or like that you're not like being fully satisfied in God if you do desire that.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same kind of thing going back to the posturing of your questions and your perspective. It's like, is your desire for marriage out of like wanting to exemplify that this like picture of the gospel, to glorify God with another person, to serve and honor another person for the rest of your life,
mm-hmm.
and all the things that come with that? Or is it from this desire to not be lonely,
exactly.
or
yeah.
not be the person at the wedding with no date, or not be, you know, just feeling sidelined or outcasted or jaded or whatever, or that it will fix all these things? I think in your singleness, it's such an opportune time to work through your desire for marriage.
Yeah.
Why do I really want this? What do I think marriage really is?
Right. Exactly.
Have I even asked people who are married what marriage is? And have they given me an honest answer?
Yeah.
Am I friends with people who are married? Like in a way that, you know, like one of my favorite things about some of my friendships with people who are married is their willingness to kind of fight in front of me a little bit.
Yeah.
In a, like there's a healthy way of fighting. And it's helpful to me because I'm like, oh, wait. Yeah, this isn't this like, you know, perfect rainbows and butterfly situation. These are like two people who are really good friends that are working through something. They just are also married, you know, and they have a commitment to one another and they're trying to figure it out. It's just like grounding, if you will. And so if I have a desire for marriage that comes up or if I have friends, I'm like, hey, like, let's look at like, where are we postured at? Do we think this is going to fix something? Because the reality is, and I guess you could speak to this, Caleb, is like, I think it would probably bring out more of the things that you deal with, you know, selfishness and greed and all that stuff. And you've got another person that's like, excuse me. and vice versa.
Yeah, no, 100%. What we tend to do is we tend to put marriage up on this pedestal and we tend to romanticize it to the point to where it's just like going to fix our problems. And yet what happens is it actually reveals to you more and more of your selfishness and more of your sinfulness.
Right. Yeah.
Because now there's somebody else in your life that you have to consider and it can't be all about you. It's gotta be about you and your spouse.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I totally agree. I don't think that marriage itself is a bad thing either. I think it's also a gift from God that we should celebrate marriage. It should be held as that gift. But when that gift, when we disorder those loves in our heart and that gift becomes the ultimate thing, then that's when it goes wrong. And to your point, Liz, of like, why do you want marriage? Like, what are you hoping to accomplish from this thing? Because if you're viewing it as the solution to your problems, it's going to disappoint you. Because there's only one solution to our problems. His name is Jesus. So then if marriage is a gift and singleness is a gift, then we all get to just operate in the gifts that God has given us. We get to steward these gifts well. How do married people, from your perspective as single women, how would you desire married people to engage with you, the single? Like what are some of the ways you've seen it go wrong, right? So Liz, you had mentioned like some of your married friends being like, or maybe it was you, Alyssa, you said your married friends, one of y'all said your married friends were like, I can't wait for you to be married.
Yeah, maybe.
Like what are some ways that it's gone wrong maybe and maybe well, some ways that it could be better?
I think everyone, married or not married, has that same perspective, can have a false perspective of like that marriage kind of is the cherry on top of the sundae. And I don't think that a lot of people realize that they do that. That's what kind of hurts the most is that I think they're kind of ignorant to that reality. And, but when they're saying that, they're also saying something non-verbally, which is when you get here, you'll understand, or when you get here, you'll feel this full satisfaction. And it's twofold because if I really, really desired that, that would hurt, right? Because I'm like, dang, like I'm just, where you at, God? You know, like, why can't you give me this desire? Like, I just wish I had what they had. And I'm falling into comparison. I'm falling into disappointment and hope deferred. But with me, like I was saying earlier at the very beginning of this podcast, I'm indifferent towards marriage. Now I'm thinking, should I have this desire for marriage? Am I wrong to really enjoy my singleness? Like, it makes me feel wrong for enjoying the gift that God has given me. And it's like, you are entitled to enjoy your marriage, but I am not entitled to enjoy the freedom that I have in my singleness. And this, I think that singleness affords a lot of freedoms. And I love that. And I step into that and I enjoy that a lot. And I can feel like shamed almost for enjoying the gift, that as if I should at some point be like, you know what, I've been so, this is so selfish of me to enjoy the freedoms of singleness and I need to find a guy and get married, you know. It's like, so it just gets kind of awkward because I'm like, I don't want to be against you, like married couple, like I want us to be for one another. I want you to empower me in my singleness. What am I doing with my singleness? If I'm waiting, am I waiting well? I want to be a part of the like the family, the marriage. They got kids, no kids, like it doesn't matter. I think it takes a village. I think that marriages flourish when there's people speaking into them, including people who are not married. I've got a really, really good friend of mine, consider him a brother, and he was just empowering me where he was like, hey, I hope you know that one of the reasons that we're okay with kind of fighting in front of you is because you can see things that my married friends can't. He's like, if I'm fighting with my wife and I'm not treating my wife well, I'm not honoring her, he's like, I may have a guy friend that's married that just is like, yeah, my wife does the same thing. And he's like, but you're looking like, hey, quit talking to her like that, you know? And he's like, you speak into our marriage in a way that maybe a person that's married can't. And the same for me with them is like, hey, I think you're you kind of do this thing by yourself and you need to bring some community in here or whatever. So I've just seen it work really well when we empower one another in the gift that God has given us and helping each other learn how to receive the gift and use the gift. Like I can give my 3-year-old niece an iPhone and she'll think it's cool and shiny, but she doesn't know all the functions of it. And so it's like, I need to work with her and hey, this is how you can really utilize this gift and enjoy it. Yeah. That's what I would say about that.
Yeah. What do you think, Alyssa?
To your original question of kind of how have Mary friends engaged me like well or not. I've gotten kind of a similar thing of, I feel like it always happens at weddings where people will come up to you and be like, oh, are you dating someone? Like any updates?
You're
there?
Next.
Yes. And like, I normally will just kind of like correct in like a, yeah, if I get married and people are like, stop it, you will. Like, see, that is like a self-deprecating thing. Sure. And I want to always like, again, correct and be like, I'm not, like, that's not like a, oh, I don't view myself as like good enough. That like is just like not a promise.
It's almost like, yeah, sure, we'll acknowledge that they're both gifts, but yeah, marriage is the better gift, right? Yeah. It's singleness is the consolation. And yeah, it's a gift and you should use that, but like marriage is the thing you should really be going after.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, like that's the underlying, what I'm hearing
the tone.
From that.
That's for sure the tone. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
100%. So I think that's definitely a tone that I've like come in contact with a lot.
And I'm sorry to interrupt you one more time, but just what's so fascinating about that undertone is it's actually anti-biblical. That's the exact opposite of what Paul says. Mm-hmm. Paul doesn't say, oh man, I guess if you want to be single, that's fine. No worries, but you should totally be married. He actually says, no, you should be single.
Sure.
And if you can't, then sure. Yeah. You should get married.
Yeah.
He reverses that. And our culture has gotten that so backwards. And I think it really is somewhat hurtful when we don't follow the biblical model for like holding these gifts in the way that the Bible has given them to us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then just on like a practical level, I think something that's interesting to practice, like maybe one just like during this life stage and also in a state of singleness, is Sabbath. And I like don't love to Sabbath by myself. And so like it's really helpful when like families invite me into their Sabbath or just people that have like, because when you're in a family, you have like passive like people that you don't have to make plans with around you.
Sure,
and that like might not be something that I have roommates who are the best ever, but they're not always around. And so it's just like a different thing to learn how to like Sabbath when you're not like with your family.
Yeah.
And there might not be like an immediate family that you're around if you are single. And so I think just when I've had married friends like invite me into their like kind of like normal routines like Sabbath or things like that feels really loving towards me.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, to your point, like what we can do better as a community is more of that cross-pollination between married and single people where it's not just on the single person to reach out to the married people to be a part of their Sabbath, but it's also on the married person to say, hey, listen, like come hang out with us. Mm-hmm. Like let's do this together because we need both of those, Liz, to your point earlier, because you can see things that maybe your married friends wouldn't be able to see and vice versa. Mm-hmm. Like there's a wholeness to those relationships that I think we just absolutely need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so then maybe just like wrapping this whole conversation up, right? So if we're going to say singleness is a gift, marriage is also a gift. It's not wrong to desire marriage. You just want to make sure that you like have those loves rightly ordered where God is your ultimate love. For married people, stop making marriage the better gift. They're both equal gifts. And then how do we then land this plane with what is the value of a single person in the church?
I have experienced the benefits of, like, I'm specifically thinking of several people in this church that just, like, have availability to an extent that you just might not have if you, like, are married and, like, then are going to spend time with, like, your wife or husband and kids. Like, I think I've experienced just, like, that independence and capacity and, like, an increased like time availability really does like you can serve your church so well with that. And so I think that's just one big huge way.
I think so. When you first said it, how did you phrase it? You said something about like value.
The value of a single person within the church?
My first thought was like, man, but are single people is there evidence that single people are valued in the church? And I think I have a specific maybe heart for that, as well. where it's like, I don't know. The point is I don't want to talk too much about this because I think I could go on a rant, but I don't want to do that. Oh, I want to focus on what the question is. And I think that back to what I was saying with like singleness affording freedom,
yeah,
is there's this ability with single people to not be distracted. And I want to use that word carefully and tease it out a little bit, because someone who's married with kids is distracted, but is distracted with a good thing. Yes. You know, they've got children that they're discipling. They're, you know, in a marriage, and it doesn't, I think the word distraction could mean like negative sometimes.
Sure.
And that's not what I mean. I've just seen so much like beautiful, powerful, like mountain moving conversations and moments from single people because they just don't have that on their plate. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They just simply don't have that on their plate. And I think that that's God ordained.
Absolutely.
I think that God knows what he's doing with certain people and where he has them in their life for his glory and purpose. And single people are a huge, huge part of that. Like, so like I think about like my team, my hospitality team of like who's single and who's not and who's like showing up, yeah, and like so present. They're not tired from the week from mm-hmm. taking their kids to school and going to, you know, recitals and competitions. Like they're just like, and not that that single people are always available and not busy. Let me be real clear about that. One thing about me is my calendar is booked, y'all.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I do have a tiredness, but and I think if you're doing singleness well, you are still meeting with people and engaging them. Absolutely, and discipling, yeah, and using your time well. So I don't want to say that that's not the case, but there's just something a little bit different about it. And I think that it's classic God to take people with different stories, different backgrounds, different experiences, and put them all in one room,
yeah,
mm-hmm, and edify him and glorify, yeah, him. And so it's like, man, they're essential because God claims they're essential.
Absolutely.
And that if we really believe that Jesus is sufficient, mm-hmm, then single people have a place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 Your value as a single person is immense.
Yeah.
It is no less than a married person. Something that I've actually had conversations with students over the years where they will literally vocalize that they have this belief that marriage will somehow complete them, that they are somehow, yeah, incomplete until, yeah, they get married. And it's just not true. Mm-hmm. Your value, mm-hmm, as a single person is 100% because of what Jesus has done, mm-hmm, for you on the cross. And that doesn't change when you get married.
Yeah.
And so it's less of like, oh, I need to either get married to be valued the way I'm supposed to be, or oh, I need to stay single so I can be like maintain this level of like ability to go and do things. It's less of like trying to, again, moralize either singleness or marriage. And it's more of, what is the fruit God's given you? How do we get the most juice for their squeeze?
Yeah. And I think something that could be really helpful. Like we're all trying to pass what he said.
You like that one? Come on. That was a good one. You gotta get the most juice.
This podcast is over, y'all. No, I'm just kidding. I think too, something that's really helpful for seeing people out there that are listening is go get some friends that are married, that are secure in their marriage and in one another. And I think ask them, like, grass is always greener. I feel like single people are pretty honest. Like, man, I wish I was married, and here's why I wish I was married. And they're just like so honest. And I have had conversations with married people who wish they were single,
yeah,
and who kind of like covet this reality of singleness and this reality of those freedoms that they don't have. And, you know, and I think there's a way to do that still honors each other. Yes. It's not they're dreaming about, I wish I was out of this marriage. It's like, man, if I was single, I would just buy a van and live out of it. Sure. You know what I mean? Right. Like, that's kind of still, it's like, yeah, but like having both sides of the conversation come forward, where it's like, hey, like, you guys are married, you love each other. This is not me trying to split y'all up or ask, yeah, you right, know, if things could be different. It's just more so like, when you think about singleness as a married person now, like on the other side of the fence, what do you think about this? Like, is, yeah, there parts that you're like, I wish I would have done that better?
Mm-hmm.
Or now that I'm married, this makes a lot more sense about, mm-hmm, XYZ. And, mm-hmm, so it's like, go get those like stories and testimonies from couples, yeah, who are for one another, you know, and love each other, but are willing and secure in their relationship to have that conversation. It's like, I feel like a lot of people who are married, it's like, I don't want to say that because my significant other thinks I don't want to be in this marriage.
Right.
It's like, that's not what we're doing here.
Right.
We're trying to get both sides of the story.
Yeah.
Yeah. I still remember I was on a mission trip once, and my buddy who was getting married, or who was married, was just like, he's like, dang, that's like a gift that you get to go on this mission trip that I don't have the freedom to do because I have to like work because I'm in this marriage relationship. Not that that's a good or a bad thing, but it's a recognition of the gift that I had as a single person to get to go and do that.
Yeah.
Right. What, do you have any parting thoughts, Alyssa, on just this topic of singleness? Anything left that you wanted to say?
I think just like understanding each other's perspective. And like, I'm kind of in this life stage where I just, I mean, just had so many friends get married and am like walking with them through the realities of marriage, and especially the realities of like the first year of marriage and that like often being hard. And I think especially from a college perspective, it's just so easy to romanticize and to be like, oh my gosh, even like, and frankly, looking at it from like a materialistic, like surface level perspective of like, that's so fun. All the like events leading up to weddings and things like that. And there's just like so much celebration. And I'm just kind of like seeing the first phase of like the real life of it. Yeah. And the real life is like hard, mundane work, as is the real life of a single person, like in, you know, the like stage of just having graduated college. And that I guess touches on another thing that I just quickly, like, I think the art of celebration has to be, like of equal value for single people. And so like, just as it is like prioritized to show up for a wedding or like a shower or something like that, like recognizing like this similar milestones for your single friends and being like, let's like equally show up for things like that.
Let's celebrate it. Let's go out to eat. Let's
Like just kind of put in like equal effort. I even think about like what people would qualify worthy of traveling for. Mm-hmm. And like, if I don't have like a wedding on the calendar, like I would hope that my friends would still consider something worthy of like coming to the city where I live in to like be with me for. And obviously that doesn't have to be like everything. Like you don't need to celebrate every small thing. Married people only get married once, and so they're celebrating that like one time. But I think just kind of recognizing for your single friends, like what are things like very real and important in their life that like I can celebrate and that they like would desire that I would celebrate to an equal extent that they just celebrated my marriage.
Absolutely. Kind of
thing. Yeah.
You can even come up with your own, right? Start having friend-iversaries.
Yeah,
right.
I'm a big advocate. I've moved so many. I've literally moved like 10 times my whole life, and I'm 28. And I am like, man, I wish I had like a wedding shower where people would buy me, you know, salt and pepper and you know, a kitchen aid or something. You know, I want a registry.
Because that's what people get when their wedding showers. Yeah, salt and pepper.
They get stuff at their house. They get
salt and pepper.
Listen, I'm talking about those nice crack.
I've bought quite a few salt
from Olive Garden. Okay, that's what I'm talking about. I'm looking for like, I'm like, oh, man, I'll like be like, oh man, I need to get silverware, or this silverware is so old, it's been with me since college. You know, and I'm like doing this thing. I'm like, oh wait, why, how do people get this? And I'm like, oh, they got married and they did a registry and they got all this cool. They got all this cool stuff, and it's just like, would it be weird if I who's coming I think people would show up,
honestly.
But I think that honestly like speaks to this thing of like, if our culture was better at singleness and celebrating singles, then there wouldn't be like this pressure to get married, or even this idolization of the wedding itself.
Yeah,
we go to so many weddings that are so phenomenal and so elaborate and so extravagant that I wonder how many people begin to idolize that event.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That they don't remember.
Sure.
Most bride and grooms tell me they don't remember. Yeah. It's just a blur.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I think we could probably spend a couple more hours on this topic, and maybe we'll do another podcast on this. But I really appreciate both of y'all's time. Thank you for hopping on and giving us your perspective. And for those of you guys out there listening to this, I'm hopeful that this was an encouragement to you, and that we don't have the solutions, we don't have the answers, but my hope is that this will help us move the conversation down the field a little bit when it comes to singleness and all of the things surrounding that. So thank y'all so much for listening, and we will catch you next time.